our reading this evening is taken from the book of James, chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Be patient. James, one of the elders in Jerusalem, is writing this letter to predominantly a Jewish church. And our letter is very distinctively Jewish in character. He uses words that perhaps only the Jews of the times would know. He calls at one place Lord of Sabaoth, which means Lord as ruler over all, Lord of hosts. He's a Jewish man speaking to Jewish people. It's important for us so that we can understand at what stage the church is at. It's a very young church. Converts from Judaism, and they're experiencing persecution and intolerance from their former friends, from their colleagues, from their acquaintances, but especially from the Jewish authorities. We see this especially in Paul's writings. I've just read from Paul's letter. Let's just turn to Acts 22. And we can see immediately that Paul himself accuses himself in chapter 22, verse 4. Accuses himself of persecuting the Christians. And I persecuted this way, that's the Christians, unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. And he also accuses the elders. As also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, for whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem, for to be punished. The Christians were suffering. Paul at first saw them as being brought to justice. Later, when he met Jesus on that road, his mind was totally transformed. And we just read for one of our readings, Acts at the end, where he was trying to convince the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But he too was suffering for his words, and he was soon to meet his death. Life was not pleasant for these Jews, for these Christians. And it would get worse. Jerusalem would not be standing in 10 to 20 years' time after this letter was written. The Jews would revolt against Rome. Jew would turn against Jew in civil war. Any privileges, and they had lots of privileges, the Jews, from the Romans. And it had cushioned the Jewish Christians. For the Christians were seen as a sect of the Jews. And the Romans treated them likewise and gave any privilege they gave to the Jews, to the Christians to begin with. But these the Jews lost. And so the Christians would come on even harder times. James himself would suffer martyrdom in less than 10 years after this letter was written. So these words tell us to be patient. Were written to a Jewish culture some 2,000 years ago. How are these words relevant to our, what we call, postmodern culture today? Things have changed. We know a lot more. We've developed our culture. But mankind hasn't changed. Mankind's character has not changed. still defies God and opposes those that follow him. We constantly pray for our brothers and sisters in other countries where Christians are outcasts, third-class citizens in their society, outcasts with friends and family turning against them. Other religions seek their destruction. The authorities imprison them without reason or proper cause. Not much has changed, has it, since James' time? Not much has changed over the years. So these words are very relevant to us, to the persecuted Christians especially, but to us also. Even in our own country, Christianity has been marginalised, even here. Latest to it, the news is the Christian couple for not allowing their hotel to be used by unmarried people, including homosexual partners. They were taken to court and they lost, although they are appealing. The world mocks us and mocks God, and we live in that world. So the message to us is be patient. Be patient then. Be patient. Now this does not mean tolerate the opposition. It does not mean sit back and let everything happen to you. It does not mean just sit quietly, wait quietly until Jesus returns. That early church of James' times expected Jesus to return quite quickly. Some were selling their possessions and giving up their jobs just to wait until Jesus returned. And many Christian cults have done the same since, sitting upon the hillside waiting for his return, only to be disappointed. We do not know when he's going to return. We do not know the day. We do not know the hour. But we should be expectant. We're not as expectant as the early church. After 2,000 years, we're the most prominent religion in the world. We're quite powerful as Christians. Or so some think. I think some Christians are so comfortable and so powerful, they don't want the return. Or not yet. It would upset them. It would upset their position. It would upset their cozy life. They do not want the return yet. Because deep down, they know they are not ready. They know deep down that they will be rejected and be found unacceptable. 2,000 years. It's a long time to be expectant. Yes, the first church, they had people around them who knew Jesus. They'd seen him rise from the dead. And they expected him almost immediately to return and gather them. But 2,000 years on, those Christians truly holding to God's word are expectant. And we should be expectant. I personally believe that Christ will return in my lifetime. I have known people who are expecting in the next 5 years. But that was 5 years ago that I knew those people. So perhaps this year for them. But we should be expectant. Yes, we do not know the day or the time. But we should be always alert, always eager. You know, I see more and more evidence as prophecy is fulfilled. More and more prophecy fulfilled than ever before. Wars and rumours of wars. We hear more of wars than we ever done before. The whole earth seems to be on the edge of destruction. In Revelation we see a third of the trees being burned up, a third of the sea creatures and ships being destroyed, a third of the waters turned bitter. Are we not seeing these things happening today? We now know it is possible for these things to happen. It was almost impossible in those times of James to think about those things. Should we not be more willing to expect Christ's return? But we are told to be patient. This patience means to forbear, to suffer long. And James used this word throughout his letter. Right at the beginning, in chapter 1, he used it. He told us to be patient, to persevere. And in this chapter before us, it's mentioned a number of times. To persevere. And here he explains its meanings with several analogies. We have the husbandman, the farmer. So often Jesus used the image of a farmer to teach the people, to teach his disciples, to teach the apostles. James would have heard him. James uses a similar analogy. The farmer. He plants, knowing that without the coming rains, for there were two rainy seasons in Israel, without these rains he would not have a crop. But he waits for the rains, knowing that they will come. But does he sit back after planting and just wait? No, he is patient. He perseveres. There is much to be done for a farmer, as there is still today. He'll tend the ground, taking away those weeds that shouldn't be there. He'll keep the animals away from eating the seed and the young plants. He'll prepare his tools as well. We as Christians are also to prepare and wait. We have tools given to us from the Father. He has given us his character. We have the character of God. We are in the image of God. We have the fruit of the Spirit, that makes our character as Christians. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith. The long-suffering is the patience. It's on that list. The perseverance is there. We have it as Christians, given to us. We do not just sit back, but we develop this fruit. We allow it to grow. We should be growing continually. Then when the harvest is gathered, we will be fully grown. We are given the gifts of the Spirit to enable us. These gifts need honing and developing so that we can complete the work ahead. The work set before us. For it is work there. To tell others. To teach others. To preach the word. To administrate amongst the church. We all have gifts from God. We just don't set them aside. Put them away. We use them. We use them to our greatest ability. Or we should do. We have a responsibility to nurture and develop what God has given to us. And just as the farmer protects his harvest, so we are given the tools to defend and protect ourselves. We're given the armour of God that Paul lists in one of his letters. And he says it is to stand against the wiles of the devil, to wrestle against principalities, to stand firm. And that echoed in verse 8. Be ye patient. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, it says in verse 8. Be firm. Be steadfast. That's what the Lord wants of us in our Christian lives. To stand firm. Do not take patience as a passive exercise, allowing things to just happen around you, as so many do. patience, perseverance is active. We are to be involved in the preparation of the harvest. We are involved in the coming of the Lord. We're meant to herald it, announce it, share it. James, in true Jewish fashion, brings up the prophets. He brings up the patience of Job as one of the best examples. Again, Job is not patient in the ordinary sense of the word, but he is steadfast. Steadfast in his endurance, steadfast in his belief in God. Through his calamities and through his torturous ailments, he's patient. He perseveres with all that God presents him and does not turn away from God. We have calamities, we have ailments, torturous at times. But this is an example to each one of us, to not turn away from God, but to depend totally on him. Job is not always patient. He is not patient with his comforters. They come and they try and turn him around. Their words sometimes confuse him, sometimes blame him. We should not be patient with those who have the same shallow attitudes, the pleasers of men, and come and tell us we're wasting our time. You don't have to suffer. Even Christians who come alongside sometimes, telling us there's a different way, an easier way. Job rejected their advice, as we also should reject the advice of similar men. Job showed courage and fortitude in all his adversary. He's a fine example for James to pull out of the old scriptures. In spite of all that is thrown at him, he remains true to God, true to his faith in him. We heard last week, all is brought about by God, for his glory, for his purpose. Even the bad that happens, God will use it for his purpose. Here we have it written for ourselves in verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord. That doesn't mean the end of God. It means the purpose of God. We see God's purpose in Job's suffering. We see God's purpose in man's suffering as well, in our own suffering. Even as we persevere, there is purpose in that suffering. Yes, Job was tested, and he came through, and he showed God's glory. How many of us retain our sense of hope as we read that book of Job? When all seems hopeless, God reveals himself. That prophet had insurmountable troubles. From our point of view, from our vantage point, it seemed impossible for him to overcome, and it was impossible for him to overcome. But nothing, as our Lord tells us, is impossible for God. No matter what troubles, what tribulations beset us, they are for such a small time, aren't they? We are here for such a small time before we're taken to heaven, until Christ comes himself and takes us in his arms to be with the Father. Isn't Christ himself, the one that has truly suffered? Isn't he the one that for our sake was put on that cross, and he took our sin? His pain was beyond endurance. And worst of all, he was separated from his father. The pain of being alone. He died that we might have that union with the Father. And he is returning to fulfill that promise. That promise he gave to us that we would have a place in heaven. We would be saved. Those that believe, he would take with him. That time of the Lord's coming gets nearer. We, like Job, like James, need to stand firm. Even in the face of our adversary, we need to persevere and live in the hope that God has given to each one of us. The hope of that day when Jesus returns and we will be complete. Let us pray.